We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week three of a series that we've entitled Thanksgiving. And this is a series where we're talking about giving, we're talking about money, and you're like, oh no, I can't believe that this is the week that I showed up to church and they're talking about money, and some of you are squirming, some of you are excited, some of you are mad, some of you are sad, some of you are, whatever you're feeling right now, that's okay, but here's the deal, whatever our perspective is, we got to get this right. Now, because we love you, we're taking the time to teach you what the Bible says in regards to giving. Now, it is Thanksgiving time, and could it be possible that our giving is actually showing how much thanks we have for what God has done for us? You see, we have a focus here at this church. We have six focuses that make up Focus Church, and one of them is this, that grateful people give generously, that you can't outgive God. Now, I believe that getting our perspective right in the area of giving can either immensely hurt our relationship with God or it can help our relationship with God. So we need to have a change in perspective. We need a paradigm shift that we may have looked at it one way, and we need to be enlightened to look at it a whole different way. So 2 weeks ago, we kicked this off. We talked about giving away control. And by recognizing that God owns everything, and I'm just the manager. Last week, we talked about equations, that God's promises are if-then statements, that if we do this, then this happens. And we realize that when I give my tithe, my first and my best, it makes me vulnerable, but it also shows that I trust God with my needs and my resource. And today, we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question, that isn't tithing an advanced level of following Jesus? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I would like for you to grab your phone, pull up your Bible app at this time, because we're going to be looking at a book that's a little bit harder to find, but you'll find it there. It's alphabetical. Malachi. We're going to Malachi chapter 3. We're reading out the New Living Translation. And we highly encourage you here at Focus Church to bring your Bible app on your phone with you. Look it up with us. Practice looking up where this passage is so that you can find it later on. You see, when you come in, you receive some notes where you can follow along with us with today's message. Kind of look like this. They're always available in the back. This is so that you can make paper airplanes, or you can doodle. There's pens in the black plastic baskets, or there's fill in the blanks so you can follow along with today's messages. The answers will be up on the screen, and this tells you just exactly how long is this guy going to be talking about the subject today, and so I will get done by the time we do get to the bottom, but this is also useful as devotion that you could use this later on this week. We highly encourage you to look the passages back up, reread for yourself what the Bible says so that you know what's going on here. Now, this is also useful on the back. You can see pictures and names of all our pastors, and there's email addresses where you can write us at any time, as well as instructions on how to download the Church Center app, which is the best way to be connected here at Focus Church. Now, we're not just here in person today, but we got people who are watching online with us, and we're so glad that you are watching online, and we want to know who's watching online with us, and so we'd ask that you would write down in the comments below what your name is and who you're watching with, maybe where you're watching from, or make sure that you fill out that digital connection card later on in today's service. I'm so glad you're here. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God speaking. Here's what he's saying. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would be with us. Challenge us. Change us. Help us to understand what it is you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. So last week, we started part one of this message called Giving My First, My Best, and we talked about an equation. And the equation was found in Proverbs chapter 3 that says that if you honor God with your first and your best, Then your barns will be overflowing. They'll be full, that you'll have everything that you need. And we understand equations in our life, even if we're all not math majors. I mean, like, here's an equation. If there's a bug flying through the air while you're driving down the highway with your windshield, it's going to find a way to smack that windshield. But do you know what the last thing is that goes through a bug's brain before he hits your windshield? His rear end. Whoa, there we go. Yes, but it's an equation. I mean, it's just going to happen. You're driving down the road, bug's going to go poof, splat, right? We understand equations of life. There's if-then statements that if we will do this, then this happens. And it turns out that in the Bible, God has promises for us, things that he will do for us. And they're all if-then statements as well, that if we will do this, then God will do this. And many times we find ourselves wanting this, like, God, give me this. And he's like, hello, over there, you can have this. You just got to do this. And so the equation we looked at, we just looked at one more equation right here. Malachi chapter 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So what is a tithe? That's kind of a weird word. We don't really hear that word in our culture here today. But it simply means our first or best. It's a mathematical term. The actual technical word of tithes is a mathematical term that simply means one-tenth, or the first tenth, or one out of 10. It's simply 10% of our income when we're referring to tithe as it refers to in the Bible. So if we will give our tithe, or 10%, and bring it to the storehouse, which represents the church, what is God going to do? This is the if. And God says, I'm going to throw open the windows of heaven, and I will bless you so much that you won't even be able to take it in. And I'm thinking, you know what? That sounds like a challenge from God from the standpoint of how much blessing can I handle? I mean, because my imagination's kind of big. I can imagine that I can handle a lot of blessing. How about you? You could handle a lot of blessing. Like, yeah. So, God, if you really are going to throw open the windows of heaven, I'm going to bless you more than what you can even handle. That's a lot. But it's an if-then statement. You know, we're a lot of times sitting around saying, I want God to bless me. I want God to take care of me. And God's like, oh, we got to do something first. It's an if-then statement. But God doesn't just leave it here. He does something different. He adds on to this because remember I said God's promises are if then. If I will do this, then God will do this. But he goes one step further and he says, try it. Test me. It's like he's taking off the white gloves, throwing them down. It's like, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Try me. Test me. Now, there's only three places in the Bible where God talks about testing him. And two of those places talk about sin and arrogance, where he's not really saying test. He's like warning you, like, don't you test me. So this is the only area where there's a legitimate test where God's saying, why don't you just see if I'm telling the truth? You see, God is so serious about taking care of you when you trust him by repaying 10% that he challenges you. And so where are we at this point? This is our third week of what we've been learning about this concept of giving from the Bible. First of all, we learned that he owns everything. We're just the managers. That when we went all in to say, I'm giving everything to God, I'm going to follow him, it wasn't just for fire insurance, not just so that we can get to heaven, but it also includes following him while we're still on this planet. It's for this life now. We learned that a tithe is a mathematical term that simply means 10% of our income. We learned that it needs to be our first and our best, not just the leftover 10%, but it's got to be the first 10% of what comes in, goes back out. We learned that if you do this, if we will do this, that he will bless us abundantly. And finally, it's the fact that God is asking us to do this. This is not Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shalee asking you to do this. This is not Focus Church asking you to do this. This was God saying, bring the tithe into the storehouse. God was speaking. Well, you know what that means? It means that tithing is not giving. It is not generosity. It is simply obedience. It's repaying God for what he asked us to do. Because remember, he owns everything. You say, hey, can I just have like the first part back? You get the rest, just give me the first part back. But he already owns it. Now, we don't want just us to understand this. We want our kids to understand this too. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Shalee, if you'll come and join us on the stage. Let's give a hand to Pastor Shalee. We love Pastor Shalee here. Yep. But I love her more, so just I win. Yay. Just being competitive. We want to make sure that all of us understand, and our kids, we want them to understand
Absolutely.
What it means to that when you've got tennis, and what does it mean to give one-tenth of something to God, and that we get the rest.
Yes.
So what are we doing?
We are going to have our kids help us. We're getting ready to have a Thanksgiving feast right here on the stage. So we wanted the kids to bring Thanksgiving dinner up here.
Thanksgiving dinner. Who's ready for Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah, like
Me,
I can't
I
wait
I'm
for Thanksgiving.
I'm super excited. And
why,
so,
why don't we celebrate like Thanksgiving all the time? Why can't we have a turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing,
gravy? Noodles, that's my favorite thing. People here don't eat noodles. It's weird. In Kansas, we eat noodles for Thanksgiving.
You are weird. Noodles
yeah,
is weird
but
for
it's
Thanksgiving.
So yummy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay.
Okay. And
but,
so, yeah, I'm dreaming right now.
Yes. You're
but,
salivating. It's lunchtime.
Yes,
there we go.
But, you know, one of the major staples of Thanksgiving is mashed potatoes. And so we're going to start with some potatoes. The kids have some bags of potatoes they're bringing out. In fact, this very first kid's bringing out one. And we want to make sure that we give God our first and our best.
So
and
you're so placing it there on
God's
table. She's
going to place the first one there. And the rest are coming to our table. So there's 9 more bags of potatoes they're going to put right here on our table. We get all the potatoes. Look how many
wow.
more we're getting than what God got.
They're carrying sacks of potatoes.
So many
That's
potatoes.
A lot of potatoes, Pastor Shalee.
So many of them.
Oh, they just keep
the
on coming. Like, how many kids are down
oh my,
here?
Oh, my goodness. Here
like,
they
there
come.
We go.
There's like a
okay.
billion.
So
billion bags of potatoes.
I want to make sure that everyone's understanding. The first bag of potatoes went on whose table? God's table, okay. And then the other 9 went on our table. Oh, now we got our next Thanksgiving item. What do we have here? We got some stuffing.
Oh, you can't have turkey without stuffing.
So the first box of stuffing goes on whose table? God's table. The other boxes go on our table. Look at them bring the boxes of stuffing. What's up, Levi? It's like, I got my box. There we go. Oh, man, they're bringing the stuffing. Woo-hoo.
They're bringing in the stuffing, Pastor.
You want my daddy.
So much of it. Thanks so much,
oh,
girls.
Man, look at
oh,
that.
Thank you.
Okay.
So helpful.
We have our next Thanksgiving food item.
Yes.
Right here.
Come on up, guys. Our
we
little guys
have,
are helping, too.
I'll take it. We have a can of corn. Got to have corn at Thanksgiving. I like it mixed with mashed potatoes. The first can goes on God's table. The other cans go on
the cans over
our
here.
Table. So it goes right over there. They're like, what is going on and where am I? Last service, a kid just stopped. He's like, I'm ready now. Like he wanted to preach, you know. So it's like, yeah, there we go. Yes, this is awesome. So right there, this way. We got more corn coming up. It goes on our table because we already put the first one, our first and our best corn, went on God's table. Pastor Shalee. I think you're running out of room over there.
I'm already trying to figure out, make sure. I mean, we got a lot.
We got something, we got something interesting coming
oh,
next.
We got the first one.
Let me see.
Where's the first one go? Do you know?
The first one goes
on
God's
table.
That's
right.
Correct.
The rest are coming this
the
way.
The rest of the pumpkins
Pastor
are going
Ryan,
on our table.
We got real pumpkins because we got some cooks
real
out
pumpkins.
Here. So they're going to make pie out of real pumpkin pies.
Oh, man.
Pumpkins.
That's a lot of pumpkins.
It's a lot of pumpkins.
That's a lot of pumpkins carrying
we
pumpkins.
We want to make sure we all get them.
There you go. Look at that. Pastor Shalee, pumpkins are kind of round. How are you going to keep them on that table?
I'm working on it. It's kind of hard to get. Our table gets so full. Your table's so easy. Pastor
it
Ryan
is.
Always gets the God table, and I get the
yes.
our table. And
well, that's because you're so talented. You need to do the balancing act. There we go.
Oh,
this is an interesting thing. This is a sweet potato. The sweet first one goes on.
God's
oh,
not getting a
wait,
whole lot of sweet
I think
potato.
We missed it.
I don't
the
know what
The first
heard.
Sweet potato goes on God's table. That's right. Oh, man.
The
Who
rest
likes
are
sweet potatoes here?
Here?
Who likes sweet potatoes? Yeah. So how many of you like it when you put, like, the brown sugar topping on top? Okay. How many of you like it, the marshmallows on top?
Marshmallows.
How many of you like nothing sweet? I just want the orange stuff, right? Okay, there you go.
Pastor Ryan just wants the marshmallows.
No, actually, the only version of sweet potatoes I like is when they're cut up and deep fried into sweet potato fries.
That's
yeah.
true.
Okay, here we go. We have the first green beans. Now, Pastor Shalee, this is like danger waiting to happen here because it's a bucket of fresh green beans. Bucket goes on God's table. That's right.
We got some green beans on this table.
Now, Pastor Shalee, last night and this morning, we lost a bucket
of green beans.
It went all over the place, all over the stage, and maybe that won't happen again, right?
It's really hard to get the green beans to sit.
Hard to get
the
green beans.
Yeah, I have to do a balancing act over here.
We have the next item. We have cranberries, fresh cranberries here. The first bag of cranberries goes on God's table. That's right. Goes on God's table. The rest of the bags go on our table. Oh, man. Who likes cranberry sauce? Oh, not that many people. Okay, it's going to go right over there. But that's okay. These are fresh cranberries. You can do all sorts of stuff with it. Feed the birds with it. I don't know. I don't eat cranberries. Look at there. You know what? Some kids are putting stuff up here, and I'm just like I'm wondering about their engineering skills to keep this balance.
I know, I'm like, it's going to be a little rough.
What do we have here? This is kind of funky looking. Does anybody know what this is? It's a squash. That's right, it's a squash. So the first squash goes on God's table. That's right. And the rest of the squashes go on our table. And these are round.
This is the hardest part, yes. Pastor Ryan.
Maybe we should have done it in a different order or something, but man, these are going to roll. We have not had one thing fall off the table yet. This is really good. I think you're getting really good at this, Pastor Shalee.
I should have said that very loud.
You're really good. You're hungry. Oh, he's carrying this food. He's like, I'm hungry, as he's holding a squash and probably doesn't even realize that's food, right? Yeah, there we go. Just take a big bite out of it.
I don't think that tastes good.
We got all the squash coming over to our table.
The squash is not going to be on this table.
She's going
very well,
slower because she's having to pick where it's... the best part of Thanksgiving showed up.
Hang on.
The rolls. Who's ready for rolls? Yeah, there we go. So the first package of rolls goes where? God's table. That's right. Woo. And the rest of the packages of rolls go on our table. Yeah. There we go. Whoa. Oh, no. Pastor Shalee, yes.
This is a balancing act right now, Pastor Ryan. I don't know that they're going to stay. Green beans are going to fall. I just feel it.
You think? No. Oh, come on. You can do this. This is going to be the one. It's all going to be there.
I'm trying.
Oh, man.
Trying so hard,
You still
hard,
got
Pastor
more packages,
Ryan.
More things.
I don't know. I'm getting better at this.
You got a line now, Pastor Shalee.
There's people waiting.
Like there's so much food to put on your table there. There we go. Hold on. What do we got here? This isn't a turkey.
Yet.
It's a mini turkey. No, it's a frozen Cornish hen. So the first one goes on God's table. That's right. And the rest go on our table.
We didn't think the kids could carry whole turkeys, so, you know.
That would have been interesting,
right? Little Cornish gain hen. Plus,
I don't think your table can handle it, Pastor Shalee.
It's getting a little crazy over here.
It's freezing cold. That's right. That's right.
These are pretty frozen, Pastor Ryan. They're freezing in my hands. Oh!
Wow!
Squash down.
Oh man!
It's all right. We hit it. We're kind of close here.
We almost made it, Pastor Shalee.
We almost
made
it.
The last
piece is
right here. Oh man! Okay. We're trying to get it all on the table.
We are getting close.
We got a few more hens.
I don't know where the hens are going to go,
Pastor Ryan. There's one more.
One more.
This is it.
Okay.
Pick a good spot.
Right here. It's going right here.
Oh, man.
It almost fell again. We're good.
You know what? Did you guys notice something? That there is barely anything over here on God's table, but this is the 10%, but the 90% is overflowing. Overflowing. There's so much that we get to have. Now, let's give our kids a hand here. They did an awesome job bringing this stuff up. And Pastor Shalee, you did a great job of doing this balancing act.
Only a few squash down.
Hey, no green beans. That's right. No green beans fell or were harmed in the production of this. Okay, but we're not done yet.
We're not.
Because
this is the funnest part.
This is the best part because the kids aren't done. Because everything that's on our table is getting shared today. And they're going to bring it out to you. everybody here is getting something off of our table. And so, kids, we want you to come up, grab two things, go out to the audience, give it to somebody, make sure everybody gets something. As soon as you give it away, come back up and get more. Let's make sure everyone has something. Oh, man, it's going to be a mass mob here. Let's go bless people out in the audience. Let's make sure they get the rolls and the pumpkins and the Cornish hens and the mashed potatoes or just the regular potatoes, the green beans, the cranberries, the pumpkins, oh man, sweet potatoes. Make sure everybody has something. If you do not have anything, please raise your hand so the kids can find you. Kids, look for people with their hands raised. Make sure they get something. Raise your hand if you don't have something. Kids, find someone. If they got their hand raised, give them something. Oh man, there we go. Find someone to give it. Once you've given it, grab something else off the table. There we go. Find someone. There's still some hands raised out there that need some stuff that haven't gotten anything yet. There is enough for everyone. Enough for everyone. Look at that. He's got a pumpkin. Way to go, Lincoln. Go find someone who needs it. If they still have their hand raised, go find them. If they got the hand raised, everyone gets something. Everyone gets something. There's plenty. There's plenty. Make sure they get it. We get to share today. Find someone, so please have your hand raised still. If you have not received anything, kids, there's still some in the back. There we go. Is there anyone left who still has their hand raised? We have not gotten you something. Because there's still extra. There's still extra. At this point, kids, if you have food, just give it to anyone. Anyone. Anyone gets, they get more stuff. Anyone, they can have more than one. There we go. Okay. Awesome job. We got rid of all the food. There was plenty for everybody. One more time, let's give our kids a hand as they helped us out today. Whew. So, whatever we get, the first goes on. Oh, I almost got it there. Okay, so whatever we get, the first goes on God's table. The rest goes on our table. It's amazing how God can take 90% and make it overflowing. And he could do more with 90% than what we can do with 100%. Why? Because of this equation where he says that if you will give me 10%, I will throw open the windows of heaven. I mean, there was a ton of food up here. And you guys are now the recipients of that food. And some of you got more than what you got. And some of you are wondering, what am I going to do with this? Right? Yeah. But you may be sitting here and you say, okay, Pastor, but did Jesus ever talk about tithing? I mean, we understand it's in the Old Testament. We just read a verse from Malachi that's in the Old Testament. But did Jesus ever talk about tithing? And the answer is, yes, in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, he was talking about the religious leaders of the time. And the religious leaders of the time, they were not great people. They liked to follow all the rules, but they were not nice. As a matter of fact, in this chapter, as Jesus is talking about them to the people, he actually advises them to say, you should do what they say, but don't do as they do. That they're getting it all wrong. And he's going through different things and how they're doing it wrong. And he gets to this point in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and he talks about giving. He says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So here we are. Let's put ourselves in this situation. Where's Jesus at and what's going on? Who is he talking to? Well, he's obviously addressing the religious leaders, the Pharisees at the time, but they're not the only people in the audience. Because there's a crowd there, because early he gave instructions to say, hey, do as they say, not as they do, because they're not doing it well. But they're not the only people, because when Jesus was talking at this moment in time, it was written down in God's word for us to read all these years later. So we are part of this audience. You see, Jesus spent this whole chapter as this conversation telling the religious leaders, you are missing it. You are messing up in this area. He's almost really, on this particular verse, he's kind of making fun of them. Like, oh, you take this whole tithing thing and you do it down to the minutest little thing. That's like someone right now saying, God wants 10%. Well, I'm going to go down to the actual penny. Like, you want to make sure I don't want to be a penny off in giving God his 10%. But then he's saying, but you're messing up in this other area. You're missing something important. You're following this rule over here, but you're missing the whole spirit of the law over here, dealing with justice and mercy and faith. But did you catch that in this verse, Matthew 23:23, that Jesus affirms tithing? He affirms it. He talked about it, and he didn't change it, because he could have changed the rule right here. He could have changed the way it's supposed to be from this point on. He had the opportunity to, and he didn't. How do we know this? How do we know this? Because Jesus, as he taught people, kind of turned things on his head. That he might have said this. He said, you might have heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I tell you, turn the other cheek. He was rewriting things. He might say, hey, you know, you treat your neighbor as yourself. He said he was changing the rules. He said, you might have heard it said it was this way, but I tell you it's really this way. Jesus spent time teaching of rewriting some things about, because we were messing up in an area and following the law. And he had the opportunity to do it here, and he didn't. I mean, he didn't say, well, you may have been giving one-tenth of everything, but really, I want you to just give whatever you want. Or he could have said, you don't have to anymore, because now we're under grace, not under the law. Or he could have said, just do it as long as you have something, or if you have extra. I mean, did he even talk about an amount? Well, actually, our understanding of the word tithe is one-tenth of your income. Yes, he did. He wasn't saying, oh, you could change it to 3%. You could just tip God with your 20 that you're going to put in today in the offering. No, he didn't change any of it. He said, tithe. He said, yes. He affirmed it. Yes, you should tithe. He didn't change it. And he could have. But then he did something else. He didn't change that, but he changed something else. You see, here at Focus Church, we believe that when you make a decision to follow God, that's a moment in time. But when you make that decision, you're saying, I'm going to follow God. He's going to be the leader. Guess what? Leaders go places. When you say, I'm going to follow someone, you have to move. You have to go somewhere. You don't stay where you're at. We call it growing. There's actually a theological word for this, of the process from the moment you make a decision for Jesus to the moment you see Jesus in heaven one day. The process of growing is this word, sanctification. But what it simply is taking steps following Jesus. It's like we're going up a staircase, that we don't stay on the first step of saying, I made a decision. I love Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to stay here because I'm doing the bare minimum. No, as long as you still have breath, as long as you still are on this planet, you said, I will follow you. You're my leader. Guide me, direct me. I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to grow. That there is a beginning level and there's a more advanced level. We're not expected at the very beginning to be able to do all the advanced stuff, but we are expected not to stay where we're at. Reminds me of my daughter, Riley. She's my favorite daughter, considering she's my only daughter. She's like, oh, daddy. And I had to tell her yesterday that I was going to include her in my message this weekend. I try to do that as a courtesy to my kids so that they're not caught off guard. And sometimes I think I'm asking them permission, but I'm really just telling them. Now, I say all this, and I think I probably should start doing this for my wife when I use her. You know, I don't give her any warning whatsoever, whatnot. But I wanted to talk to Riley. I said, Riley, I'm going to use you in my message tomorrow. Is that okay? She's like, whatever, Dad. And she's like, what are we talking about this time? And I said, I'm going to talk about you doing gymnastics. See, she's a gymnast. She does gymnastics. She started a little over 10 years ago. And she was very athletic. She can do dance. She has rhythm. She's strong. But you have to learn skills in order to advance. And there is one event that she was really struggling at as a six-year-old. And it had to do with the bars. That the very basic skill of doing with the bars was being able to pull yourself around and up onto the bar. It's called a pullover. And she was struggling at this, and she couldn't do it in practice. And we're like, we got to do something to help her to be able to do this basic skill, or else she's not going to advance in gymnastics unless she can do a pullover. So what we did is we bought a mini-sized bar. It was painted pink and everything. She got it for her birthday. And we decided, well, she's going to have to do extra practice. We want her to practice when she's not at the gym. And so we removed our dining room table from the dining room and set up the bar. It became her new little gymnastics gym in our dining room. And she would practice with her pink mats, her pink bar, and everything, and work hard trying to get it. And she would tell us, I can't. I can't. She would do it. Oh, I can't. It was too hard for her. We're like, you're going to have to do it. If you want to go far as a gymnast, you got to do the basic skill first. And so we had to make up a rule that says, if you're going to say I can't, you have to add three letters to it, yet. I can't yet. And so she started changing her language. I can't yet. And she would get back on it. I can't yet. Okay, but I'm going to get back on it. Learning the skill of a pullover. And finally, she was able to get it, which was awesome because everything was based off getting the first skill right for her to be able to advance in gymnastics. And so I was telling Riley yesterday that I was going to use this illustration of her learning her skills in gymnastics and talk about the pink bar. And she said, Dad, you got to be kidding me. You would not believe this. Just today, I found a video clip on my phone of me getting the pullover on the pink bar in our living room in Kansas for the very first time. And I'm like, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to show everybody. So today, I have the video clip of her going and doing the pullover on the pink bar in the living room for the first time. Let me just say, it goes by fast, but I want you to note something as you see this, okay? And Dustin, we're gonna probably have to play it a couple times, okay? Just so he knows that, because it's fast. But notice how she gets over, but she has to like straighten and struggle to pull her arms up on it, okay? So just watch this. Let's take a look at Riley doing her very first pullover on the pink bar in our living room, all right, dining room. There we go. Yes, the first time. She got it on there. Now, let's watch that again, Dustin. Look at. Oh, there we go. I mean, you can see, like, and you see the smile on her face. Like, she got it. But you know what? That was 10 years ago. She's not struggling like that anymore. And that's the first skill that you got to learn on the bars. And I want to show you what she does on the bars now. Let's take a look. Isn't that awesome? She would not be able to get to that level until she did the beginning skills, the beginning stuff. You can't go advanced until you get beginning. And the same thing applies with the things of God. You see, I think that most of us, if we were honest here, we would say, Pastor, I agree with what you're teaching about today. I agree with the tithing thing. I agree that it's biblical. I agree that God's asking us to do it and everything. But here's our mistake. Our mistake is that we think that in the timeline or the skill level of following Jesus, that giving 10% is advanced, like Riley on that last bar on there, and we're down here. Like, yep, one day I'm going to get to that, because, but right now I'm down here, and I agree with it up there, and one day, maybe 10 years from now, I'll be up there, but I'm just not there yet. See, we place it as advanced skill level when we're farther along and following Jesus and him being the leader of our life. But Jesus changes it in this passage. He sets the priority differently in Matthew chapter 23 because he puts tithing in its place. He says, you should tithe, yes, saying you should do it. He said, but do not neglect the more important things. Well, what more important things? He just referred to it in a sentence before. The important things like justice and faith and mercy. What Jesus was setting up in this passage is putting tithing in its spot, saying the advanced part of following after me is understanding faith and mercy and justice. And the beginning part is trust me with your resource down here. That giving our 10% is like Riley on the pink bar level. And faith, mercy, and justice is like on the uneven bars 10 years later. And we want to go here. We want to be here. We're like, yep, I want to work on my faith and everything and my trust and growing in the fruits of the Spirit and everything. We want to be up here. And God's like, do the first things first. It's beginning level. He places it in order. So Jesus puts tithing as a basic level in following him. I don't know about you, but when I read this and discovered this for myself, it was like my mind was blown, like, whoa. Here I want to be advanced, and I'm not even doing the beginning stuff. I'm on the baby bar, and I'm not even doing it. If there's something we need to understand, if there's something we need to decide today, there's a conclusion we need to make based off what we're hearing today. It's going to be found in that box that's in the middle of your notes. And it says this, that I understand that repaying my tithe isn't being generous. It's being obedient. And this is a big concept. This is a game changer. We think we're giving God something. No, we're just being obedient to what he asked for us. God's the one who's asking this from us. Remember, it's not Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shalee. It's not Focus Church. This is God and God's word asking for this. But he's putting it into an equation, saying, if you'll do this, then I will do this. And I had a pastor who took the time to teach me about this. And he used an illustration that I want to use for you today, because for me, it was like the light bulb went on, bing, because I could understand this. There's a hula hoop on the ground right here. It's a bright, sparkly pink one. I think I asked for a silver one, but I think they're playing a prank on me. But here we are. Here's a hula hoop right here. And I want you to imagine that this is a zone, that inside this hula hoop is the blessable zone. That if you are in this zone, God is looking down from up above, and he's saying, I can bless this person. If you are outside of this zone, God, you're not in the blessable zone. So how do we get into the blessable zone? Well, it's the equation. It's what we read in Malachi chapter 3. If you will bring the tithe, the 10% to the storehouse, I will open the windows of heaven. You won't be able to contain the blessing. When you give 10%, you are stepping into the blessable zone. That when God looks down and he sees the zone, he sees you're in it, boom, automatic, you get blessed. I'm taking care of you. You get to be in the zone. You are in the zone. You get blessed. Automatic. Now, let me tell you, we all have aspirations of great blessing in our life. And you're like, I'm not even sure I've ever used that word in my life, blessing. Like, yeah, you have. You just referred to it a little bit differently, because I'm sure everyone in this room and everyone's watched online has thought about this. You've thought about, what if I won that mega ball billion lottery thing that just went around? And you start to imagine spending and what I would do. You even start wrestling with God saying, God, what if I gave you half of it? You know, like, just give it to me. Like, you want half of it. You want this blessing. You want to be taken care of. We want this. And we try to figure out how do we do this. And maybe you use logic. Maybe you wrestle with God. Maybe you say, you know what? If God wanted to bless me by winning the lottery, he can't do that if I don't buy a ticket. So you're like, okay, so I'm going to buy a ticket because, like, if God wanted to bless me, I have to give him that opportunity, so I buy that ticket, right? But when it comes to a lottery, when you buy that ticket, you're buying a chance that you could be blessed, not a guarantee, okay? If anything, a lottery is a tax on people who can't do math, okay? Because the statistics are not in your favor. So then you might say, okay, I know they're not my favorite if I only buy one ticket. But if I buy two tickets, then I just doubled my chances, right? But guess what? It's still just a chance. There's no guarantee. But what God is telling us here today in Malachi chapter 3, he is saying, I will come through. I guarantee that if you will give 10%, you are stepping into the zone. I will take care of you. 100% of the time. Okay? This is a guarantee. This is not a chance. He's saying, I'll do it. He's saying, try me with this. I'll do it. But here's something else we got to understand. Okay? About the zone. Is that every time we get paid, every time we receive a gift, every time we have increase, every time we sell something, every time we have it, as soon as we get it, guess what happens? It's like an automatic thing. Zzz, boom. We just got moved out of the zone. Because what we've just been given is another opportunity to get back into the blessable zone. That this is a thing that goes on in our life. That every time we have increase, we have the opportunity to say once again to God, God, you own everything. I'm just the manager. You've asked for 10%. I give it to you. As soon as I give my tithe, we do our part. Boom, we are in the zone. God's looking down. Yep, Ryan's in the zone, taking care of Ryan. You want to be in the zone. It's a 100% guarantee, but you got to keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. It's God's thing. It's the one who is saying, test me, try me, see if I'm lying. God can do way more with our 90% by giving him just the 10%. See, the difference between wanting God's blessing and getting it is action. You got to do something. Now, in the book of James, in the New Testament, James is known as an author who really wrestles with the concept of faith and with our actions. And he makes this his whole theory, his whole thing, and what he writes about is saying, you really can't have faith without doing something with it. And here's what he writes. In James chapter 2, verse 14, it says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Every time we get paid, we get that opportunity to say, God, once again, I want you to know that I understand. You own everything. I'm just the manager. You want 10% back. Here you go. It's yours to begin with. Boom. I'm stepping into the zone. Boom. I'm taken care of. Now, there's some of you out here you would argue with saying, Pastor, I'm not sure this is true because I know for sure based on what you're saying that I sometimes live like this and sometimes live like this. And I've asked God to bless me and take care of me, and he's helped me out. Well, let me explain the difference. When you are in the zone, automatic, guarantee. When you are out of the zone, that means you're not being obedient in this area, it's then God's choice if he blesses you. It's not a guarantee. It's only by his grace that he says, well, I know you're being, but I'm going to overlook that and I'm still going to take care of you. So if you consider yourself to be blessed on this side, of the zone. Imagine if he had the guarantee. Guaranteed. Don't run the risk. Guaranteed. Be in the blessable zone. What did God say? If you do this, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Let's pray. God, today we're learning about what it means to give you our first and our best, to have this opportunity every time we have increase to show that we understand that you own everything and I'm just the manager. There's so many times in our life where we want blessing. We want to be taken care of. We want to make ends meet. We want that. And we see in your word, you've given us an equation where it's a guarantee, but it requires action on our part over and over and over. Because you want to know where our heart is. You want to know that we trust you, that we understand the assignment of what, how this all works. But God, I know that in this room and online, we have people watching who, for some, they're like, this has been just a reaffirmation of what they're already doing. They're like, yes, that's why I already do this. And God, I pray for those people that they would be even more shored up, that I'm not going to quit, that I'm going to keep on staying in that blessable zone, that I'm not going to allow, that I'm going to allow the least amount of time of being out of that zone every time I have increase, because you provide. God, I also know there's people here in this room and people who are watching online who they're kind of straddling, like they do what they can. They tithe on part or some of what they have, or they do what, a percentage that's different, and it's not exactly that. But God, as you've shown us today, it means we're not always in that zone. And God, I pray that we'd be challenged today to go all in, to tell you, God, we trust you, that we're going to test you in this, that we're going to try it and watch you come through as a guarantee. And God, there's also people in here that this may not have even been a concept they even were aware of, or it's been something that they've deliberately been avoiding. And that's translated into not engaging you in this challenge, not engaging in obedience in this area. And God, we understand that the truth here is that if we're not being obedient, it means we're being disobedient. And we understand we really shouldn't be blessed for disobedience. So God, I pray that you would change our heart today, that you would help us to get right with you in this area, recognizing this is not an advanced thing. This is a beginning thing, showing you we trust you. So help us, God, at every opportunity, say, God, it's all yours. I'm the manager. Here's the 10% you want back. I'm being obedient, knowing, and even saying to God, you better come through like you promised, but knowing we're in the zone, the blessable zone. Thank you, God, for helping us all grow in this area as we follow you, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a moment ago, I said that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end. And here we are at the end. God loves you. He loved me so much that he gave first. He gave his son, Jesus, not to just start a religion, not just to be a good teacher, not just to perform some miracles, but he was on a mission to die for our sins, to pay the penalty for our wrong, something we can't do ourselves. And because he did that, we can be forgiven. We can be set free. We can become a part of God's family. We can be guaranteed that when we leave this planet, we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. But while we're still on this planet, we have mission. We have purpose. We have direction. We have focus in our lives. We have a family that God gives us. The Bible describes that the life of following God as our leader is a life that's better than we could even imagine. We're not talking it's without trouble, without trial, without test. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, but take heart, be encouraged, because I've overcome the world. And that's who we're following. You may say, Pastor, how do I begin this journey? What do I got to do to make Jesus the leader of my life? Well, the Bible describes that we've got to have a conversation with God and make a decision. We call this conversation prayer. In this prayer, there's a few things we've got to do. One, we got to recognize that we can't do this by ourselves, that we're not worthy. Simply put, we got to say, I'm sorry. Secondly, we got to believe. Believe that God would love us so much that he would send Jesus to die for our sin. And claim that what Jesus did on the cross was for us. Got to believe. And thirdly, we got to go all in and declare, you're the leader of my life, God. All of me. My hopes, my dreams, my shortcomings, my successes, my failures, my relationships, my resources, every part of me becomes yours, that I will follow you, that you become the leader of my life. That's what we say to God. And I want to help you with this prayer today, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud, and I'm going to encourage you to say it out loud, repeating after me. But don't worry, you're not going to have to pray this alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family here today to pray this prayer with us. Because this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.